you, thank you. Well, it is a joy to be here with you guys, and it's a blessing that thank you so much for your invite and that I can share my story. Well, not really my story. I know I'll tell you why it's not really my story. But I think Pastor Dave asked me to come here, and I think as Christians, I think we all have a mission, right? And when Jesus was ascending to heaven, he gave us a mission, you know, to go out and share the word, right? Share the gospel, right? But sometimes we think of, okay, so what is the greatest thing? What is the best thing we can do as Christians? Is it coming to the church in this weather every Sunday? Is it reading your Bible every single morning or night before you're going to bed? Is it, what is that exactly, right? And we can be distracted by so many things, like work, school, exams, you know, as a college student, you know, assignments, you know, and or politics, you know, it's a big thing these days, politics, yeah. Sports, football, I guess, right? I mean, I don't really like football, but yeah, football for many people. So these are all some distractions, and I was one of those people who dealt with all of those things, and still dealing with some of them actually, but you know, sometimes, you know, God is great and he will open your eyes to the truth, not the realities, the truth. And my name is Ali, and I used to be one of the students in the University of Findlay, Ohio. And I actually graduated this summer, and my major was biology, so it has nothing to do with ministry, of course. But I worked with the campus ministry as one of the leaders for like almost 3 years, and you know, in some church camps in summer, I was a counselor, and I told myself maybe it could be a path that God is showing me. So you might have noticed in my accent, I'm not from here, of course, right? I'm from Iran, or the correct pronunciation is Iran, and I came here January 22, and to study biology, and so, you know, coming from a Middle Eastern country, coming here to the U.S. in January, it's very cold, it's very brutal, all by yourself, walking in the on campus, and you see all the snow and. You know, that was my first experience. Like these are like those like ice droplets, like, you know, just flying on the ground, and they will go to your like ankle and your socks and everything. I was telling myself like where did I go? Like where is this place? And so like January in Findlay, Ohio, it's a great experience. And well, you know, you might know maybe Iran is. In the Middle East and is dealing with lots of political problems. And I think in the slides we can show. So, you know, in the Old Testament, Persia, right? You know, Cyrus the Great, saving the Israelites from the Babylonians, from the slavery, you know. So this is a Persepolis. Some of you might have this kind of, you know, kind of imagination about Iran, or some of you might have some Islamic imaginations, because the Iranian culture is very bound to the Islamic culture. And my city is Shiraz, so it's like around, like, you know, 30 minutes away from Persepolis, and it has lots of historical places. And I think in the next slide we can see, so yeah, I mean, lots of Islamic places, you know, different old medieval mosques and the shrines from the poets and all of those things. You might need like a month to visit every single place in my city. And it's a beautiful city. And or some of you might have some political imaginations of Iran. And well, of course, where I come from, I wasn't Christian. I was Muslim. And I was born in a Muslim family. And coming here, I had no idea that what's gonna happen. And it is sometimes very amazing to see God's work through your life. So January 22, right? I come to the University of Findlay, And it was like a week or two in my classes, and there was a Friday I saw a banner in one of the buildings, and it was showing it was saying that a movie, you know, at 8 p.m. And I'm a movie nerd, so if you just leave me alone, I will watch movie for like hours and hours and hours. And I said, nice, let's go to this room and, you know, just go there. And I saw lots of people, like 50 or 60 other students, watching a movie at 8 p.m. They have snacks and they have hot chocolate. I love hot chocolate. They have also coffee. I will also drink coffee at 9 p.m. too. That's fine. And so, I mean, the movie, coffee, you know, new people, that's amazing. And then I realized they're from campus ministry. And I had no idea what campus ministry meant. I thought it was a movie club or something like that. And the next day, and I went there again, I saw people like sitting on a table, and I thought, you know, maybe they have other like programs or whatever, and they were like studying Bible. They had the Bible study. And I said, okay, let's just sit there, maybe after the Bible study, they're playing some games, or they might watch another movie too. But, I've always been curious about Jesus and how the Christians believe about God and their prophet. And so all of those questions. So in an Islamic perspective, let's go back. There is a Jesus in Islam, in Quran, of course. And Jesus is not meant to be son of man or son of God. Jesus is not God. Jesus is mentioned as a prophet, right? A good man, you know, like Moses, like Jonah, like Joseph. And Jesus was not crucified, but he was ascended before he was crucified. So, totally different, right? And growing up with this kind of perspectives about Jesus, right? And coming here to the Bible studies and meeting new people who are Christians, and hearing from them that they're saying Jesus is God, it was shocking for me for the first time. And the thing is that, like, for example, our pastor was talking and he said, like, you know, Jesus, God in flesh. And I raised my hand and I said, do you guys really believe that Jesus is God? And the whole room was quiet. There was like a 1 minute of silence in the whole room. It was the most awkward moment for me. And he said, yeah, we believe that. And I said, okay. The other thing that was really, really hard for me to understand was God's grace. So in Islam and Judaism, right, so you need to do good works and so that you can get closer to God, right? So good works first and then, you know, faith. In Christianity is faith. Faith comes first. And the good works are the fruits of your faith, right? So God's grace, you know, forgiving all of your sins, no matter what, and then changing your life after that, it wasn't really logical to me. And I said, okay, even like the worst people, if they believe in Jesus, they are forgiven. And they said, yeah, that's God's grace. You know, that's God's heaven, that's his place. He decides who is saved and who is not saved. So those things, and it was like every single one of them was like a bullet in my mind, because I couldn't really get it. And I was amazed by people or in the, you know, in my campus ministry or in college at how lovingly they are, you know, how passionate they are about the Bible that they're reading. And so, like, you have this, right? So you have all of this conflict. And so if you go to the next slide, right, so we have the this is the Finley, you know, University of Finley. Not a good picture, but yeah, that was the, you know, my first experience in Finley, like, you know, the around like two feet of snow and everything like that. But next slide, we can see, I think, the Book of Hebrews, you know, you need milk, right? Not the solid food. So they were all solid foods, like all of those philosophical, theological stuff, you know, God's grace and everything like that, they were all solid food for me. I couldn't swallow it. I needed milk, right? Because not only I wasn't even close to be a Christian. I was still a Muslim, right? I was kind of defending my point of view about everything and all those stuff. So I really like needed some basic things, right? And some people ask me, like, you know, even like, you know, some of my friends back home, did you put like Islam and Christianity in on a weight to see which one is better, which one is heavier, which one is more complete? And I said, I never done that because it is useless. You know, if you go back to history, right, people have been arguing about Islam and Christianity for years and years and years, and yet there is still a conflict, kind of, right? So I said, I'm not going to do that, right? And now you ask me, okay, so what happened? Like, how did you do that? Like, one of my favorite passages is Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. And that was the first time I read this passage. It amazed me. So like, you know, the Pharisees, you know, the scribes, and asked Jesus, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And I said, love is the most important thing. And it, like, you know, if you go to other cultures and other religions or other countries, if you tell them, you know, show love to each other, seems like a nice thing to say, right? Everyone will be happy with it, you know, show love. But love is different. In Jesus' point of view, love is beyond, you know, just smiling at each other. Love is beyond just maybe saying hi to each other and just walk by it. You know, love is beyond all of those things. He meant something more deep and deeper and like more basic, right? It seems a basic thing to say. Also, like, love God, love your neighbor. It seems a basic thing, but if you think about it, it will cover everything, like everything, every single moment of your life. It will cover it, right? If you look at, you know, just maybe some places that are in conflict, in danger, they're not safe, they're, you know, maybe in other countries that people are not, there's no peace like here, right? They're missing that, you know? And sometimes even here, we might not agree with each other. We will miss that too, you know. This is basic, but this is the most important thing. You know, love God and love each other. Jesus didn't want to, you know, disqualify the Ten Commandments, of course, right? But he said those Ten Commandments, they will all be on top of this. Like, this is your base of your house. This should be first from, like, before anything else, right? So, how did it change my mind, right? You know, all of those things I couldn't really accept, all of those, you know, questions I had in my mind. I think people around me, my friends around me, they changed the whole equation. The way they showed me love, the way they welcomed me, the way they accepted me, even though I was not one of them, I was not Christian, I was always the one who was asking questions, weird questions sometimes. But they showed me love. They invited me to church and to all of those, you know, events, and they actually spent time with me, and they helped me, you know, coming to a country where you don't have any family, actually. You're all by yourself. It's kind of hard, you know? And they helped me in every single, like, every time I needed help. And I said, you know, they're actually, like, doing that. This is that. You know, this might not be perfect, but they're trying their best, right? I think God is working in them to show that. And I told myself that if this is who the Christians are, if this is what Christianity means, if this is what Jesus is working in his people, then I want to do that too. Then I want to be part of it. You know, yes, I have lots of questions. Yes, I might not understand, or I might not be able to swallow the solid food. But I wanna just try. I wanna walk with Jesus, just to see what happens. Right. So I got baptized in April of 22, and my mom knew. I mean, my parents and my sister, they're still back home. they knew I'm going to church with my friends, but she would never like predict like I'm gonna make a decision to be Christian. So I called my mom the next day and said, "Hey mom, I got baptized," and she said, "What? I got baptized. I'm Christian," and I was actually FaceTiming her, and she said, "What did you do?" Like, and she was kind of scared at first, and she was shocked, and then when I explained everything to her, and she's a kind of, her personality is like me, like very like open, very like mild, and you know, and then she said, you know what? If you think this is a correct thing, if this is something that you think is right, you know, I'll get it." And my dad was fine because my mom was okay with it, and my sister just doesn't really care about those things. But they are the only people who know that I'm Christian, back home. So yeah, I got baptized, and if you compare this alley with the alley in April of 22, they're whole different people, right? And as I was walking with the Lord, and I started understanding, like, God's grace. I actually, before getting baptized, I realized that my own brokenness, you know, because you are trying to do your best to be a good person, but you can never make it, honestly, and because of all of those distractions I mentioned at first, right? And when you realize your brokenness, then you will appreciate God's grace. And you will see, you know, this is God's power. Like, and when you understand God's grace, you know, forgiving you if you deny yourself and, you know, take up your cross and walk with him, you will understand that Jesus has to be someone more than just a prophet. He had to be someone beyond our imagination. And observing people who are showing love is very, very important. And you might not, you know, maybe even I like sometimes like, you know, ignore that. But the way you say, you know, hi to people, the way you talk to them, the way you listen to them, all of those small things, for some people it really, really matters. They will remember that, right? Just like me. Like, I could remember like how they were listening to me, how they were caring, how I felt welcomed in their community. Those things really matter. They can change your life. And you don't need like philosophical and deep theology arguments and conversations with people to share the gospel and it kind of, you know, win the arguments, you know, just say, yeah, you know, I beat you, you know, in that. You don't need those things, because if you argue, the argument just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. It's never ending, right? What do you guys call it? Like the last nail on the coffin, you know? That one is like, you know, showing love. And if you look at the gospel, like the story of Jesus with his, you know, disciples, like Peter, you know, Andrew, Matthew, they all started with like simple conversations. Like, he told the tax collector, you know, follow me, and he dropped everything and followed Jesus. That's it, you know. And he told Peter, you know, drop your net on the other side of the boat, you know. He followed Jesus until the end. You know? So it all started with simple conversations, with care, with love. It didn't start like Jesus, you know, arguing with them and talking to them for hours and hours and hours, and then they said, oh, okay, yes, I'm going to follow you now. No, it never happened like that. And so love in the community, I said, that was a miracle. And that was I could see Jesus in between those people. And that was, you know, change or destroyed all of those equations in my mind about, like, you know, the identity of Jesus, and because they're solid food. You know, I think sometimes we need the milk, you know, the basic stuff that we usually forget, and we might be puffed up by knowledge and by history, by politics, and by all of those things, but at the end of the day, that's, you know, love which remains, right? And then my second favorite passage in it was Genesis, right? And if you look at the Genesis 1:27, you know, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And this is a kind of what helped me to understand more everything. And because when I'm looking at every single one of you, when you go out, you know, tomorrow at work, when you look at your coworkers, when you, believer or non-believer, it doesn't really matter. You are looking at God's image. You're looking at God. There are God's creation. We are God's creation. We are his children, right? Some of us are believers, some of us are not. But, you know, Jesus didn't come for the righteous people. He came for the sick people. He came for the broken people, right? So, like, and it's like an arrow. It's like a poke in my mind always, you know? Whenever I'm trying to get away from those people, I said, God will tell me, you know what? They need that. You know, you need to be there. And because they are my children too. They are my creation. So whenever you look at someone, just show love. Like, just show care and kindness. All of those things, right? And that's what really made me to, go to the ministry and learn from people, right? And that's why I said, this is not really my story, right? Because I didn't do anything. What I did, I just watched movies with them, you know? I just read Bibles with them, you know? I didn't do anything. This is not really my story. This is actually their story. This is actually my friend's story. They were the main characters in the, you know, the story I was reading. You know, I was just the reader. That's all I did. You know, and I, at the end of the book, I said, I'll get it. I accept it. That's all I did. I mean, that was all God's work, Holy Spirit's work through them and made the characters. So I don't really take any credit from it because actually I didn't do anything like that. And when I think about it this way and said, you know, see, Ali, this is God's grace. See, now take that. You cannot imagine how mysterious sometimes God's work are. Because coming to the U.S. was not my first choice at all. Because as an Iranian, it's kind of hard to come to the U.S., you know, because of many reasons. I wanted to go to Italy to study medicine because it is cheaper, of course. And the COVID came, and all the borders closed. And it took me 1 year to take the university entrance exam in Italy. And with the score I got after two years, I could get accepted in every single university in Italy except the one I chose. And that was a bummer. And then I decided to go to Germany because, you know, it's also cheap to study in Germany. So I studied German language. I studied German, I learned German, and again, it was still in COVID. Something happened that it became easier for Iranians to come to the U.S. and study. And out of nowhere, one of my friends found University of Finland. Like, I don't know how he found it. He just sent it to me, and I applied for it, and they gave me some kind of scholarship. I said, okay, I get it. I went to the U.S. embassy, and, you know, they gave me the visa, and I came here. And I actually, like, it was my last choice, but that was a choice that it kind of, like, you know, changed the course of my whole life completely. And I couldn't imagine that someday I'm going to stand here in front of you guys and talk about Jesus and talk about his work in my life. And I don't think that Ali would believe this. You know? It would be a dream for him, probably. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, God's work is mysterious, and you might be dealing with something today, you might not be sure about something today, and you might say, okay, God is not listening to me, I don't think God is, like, you know, actually hearing my voice, but no, his work is so fine and delicate that no one would know, even you wouldn't really notice it. The only time that you will notice is when you're right there at his destination. right? So I think the next passage is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And like as I said, you know, all of those, as you're going to work tomorrow or going to school tomorrow, for some of you guys, or talking to your family members, right? Just put away all of those, you know, materialistic issues, right? They're not really, really important. You know, all knowledge, the wisdom, prophecies, politics, history, science, like anything, they will all go away. They're not eternal, you know? How many empires you know that there are still, you know, exist? None of them, right? How many men in power and kings you know that they are still in power? None of them, right? And what has remained? Love, you know? What has remained after almost 2,000 years? You know, Jesus' word, Jesus' love. You know, that remained, you know? So it is telling you something, you know? So this is the greatest commandment for us to share love and share the gospel, no matter who they are, no matter how they respond. And just, you know, we need to be bold sometimes. I kind of worked at the dealership, the car dealership, as a car salesman. I mean, 3 months in. It's not a biology-related job, of course. It's about cars. But one thing I learned is that, so like, you're under full commission, right? And you get paid when you sell a car, right? So you need to be fearless. You need to go out and talk to people that you don't know at all and ask them what they need and what they want and, you know, walk with them until the end of the process. You need to call people, which seems like a scam calling, and tell them if they need a car or something. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say don't call me again. And you need to actually text them and send them an email. So you need to be super extrovert in that job to be able to, you know, make some money, right? And as I was doing that, I mean, it's actually one thing that I really appreciate is that I told myself, if I'm doing this, if I'm going out and talk to people to make money, and when it comes to sharing the gospel, you know, going to the streets and asking people if they know about God and his grace, and if I if I shy and say, oh, that's weird, then shame on me, right? How is it that I'm not scared to go ask people for, you know, for my own business, but when it comes to God's work, I'm shy, you know? It seems awkward. So it's never awkward, you know? When they might say no to you, they might say, you know, get out of here, but it's all God's work. It's all Holy Spirit's work, you know? It's not really you might be just a vessel for that. But one thing, so right now, you guys are part of this story right now, because you guys just heard this story, and I really, really appreciate your welcoming and your, you know, invitation and your love and your kindness. And this is all that remains at the end, right? So as we are going to our daily life tomorrow, one thing to always remember is love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your greatness, and thank you so much for your love and all of your miracles in our hearts. And we pray for every single individual in this room, and even those people who couldn't come here for any reason, it might be health issues, or maybe they just didn't feel it to come here, or whatever the reason is, we just pray for them. And we just pray that you will open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, and so that we can be your representative, your light, and your salt of the earth as we are going to our communities, as we are going to different places. Help us to bear your image, God. And we pray that your love will be mentioned and noticed in every single moment of our lives. And we are thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your unbelievable grace. And it doesn't matter how much we are thankful, still it's not enough. But you are great and you are awesome and your works are mysterious, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.